This is a podcast from Consilio. We bring people together to create better places.
Hello and welcome to Poles Apart with me, Luke Francis.
And me, Nathan Parsad-Wyatt.
And we're back.
We're back for part two of our election update.
The long-awaited.
Yeah, the election results. I think we've now got a much more complete picture from across the capital.
And crucially, some sleep.
Yeah, and we both had a bit of sleep and a weekend to sort of digest the results and get some rest. So,
Start with where we left you?
We'll start with where we left you, which was the three really key flagship Conservative boroughs of Westminster, Wandsworth and Barnet, all going firmly into Labour's column. With varying majorities, but completely decisive victories in all three cases for Labour. Certainly a great day, a great set of results for Labour.
Yeah, the narrative was very much Labour victories on Thursday evening going into Friday morning.
Yeah.
And actually that first news cycle after the local elections was very much about, you know, Labour gains and Conservatives in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know, Sadiq Khan, I think, went to the Wandsworth count and then went to Westminster Council with the Labour group on Friday. And then I think it was in Barnet with Keir Starmer, I think, at some point.
Friday morning, yeah.
Yeah, to celebrate what is a stunning set of results for Labour, without question. But as the day went on and the counts that we've had over the weekend, the picture has become slightly more mixed.
Yep.
So, Luke, why don't we start at the beginning?
Yep, so Friday late morning, we got the result coming out of Harrow, which was a Labour-held council. They had a majority of seven. And in a massive swing and bucking the regional trend, it shifted to the Conservatives, who now have a seven-seat majority on the council.
Yeah, I mean, quite extraordinary to buck the trend like that. And then that's kind of been followed by some other mixed results for Labour. So I think then we moved on to Croydon.
Yep. So Croydon announced, I think, was it late Friday, early Saturday, was it?
Yeah. It's kind of thrown up quite an interesting constitutional oddity, is probably the best way to describe it over in Croydon, in that we've got a Conservative mayor in Jason Perry, who I think had something like a 10,000 majority.
Yep.
But it has thrown up no overall control in terms of the council group.
Yep.
So I think it was the new mayor, Jason, said, you know, essentially the people of Croydon have thrown up a "you must all work together to sort out this problem" message.
Yeah, which is something we'd sort of previewed several weeks ago when looking at Croydon, that there was the potential here, the first time they're electing a mayor, for this to cause some political issues, and it seems that that's come to pass. So you've got no overall control, so no single party has a majority of councillors, and we have a Conservative mayor coming into office, which, you know.
And I think it's interesting as well, because essentially I didn't realise that, but Jason Perry also stood as a councillor, but because he has become mayor, he can't serve in both roles. So there's now actually going to be a by-election in one ward in Croydon, and given the current score is 34 Labour councillors, 33 Conservative councillors, you can imagine how that's going to be.
The drama goes on.
So, you know, there's scope for one more in either, or maybe a completely different. I mean, the Greens have got two, the Lib Dems have got one. So, you know, there's clearly going to be an element of figuring this out over in Croydon. But, you know, a really interesting result, actually. Yeah,
really, really interesting.
And obviously the first time they've elected a mayor too, so I think that's going to definitely be some sort of
change of direction in Croydon, I suspect.
Yeah, for sure. And that was definitely an interesting result, because I think, you know, both of us sitting here on Friday would 100% have assumed that both Harrow and Croydon would continue to be Labour-held boroughs, just based on the strength of the results in
Barnet,
Westminster and Wandsworth. So we'll come to some of the reasons why that might be the case in a minute. But then
wasn't the end of the drama.
The third an interesting borough is Tower Hamlets. I mean, what's happened there?
So again, Labour stronghold. John Biggs, who is the incumbent mayor, going into this set of elections, was being challenged by Luftha Rahman, who is the former mayor of Tower Hamlets, who was removed from office for electoral offences. has served a ban and was standing again with a new political party, the Aspire Party, who fielded a full slate of candidates. And again, we sort of previewed this race. We'd said it would be interesting because we expected Aspire to take votes from Labour and to take some big bites out of their majority. But I think no one was quite expecting the scale of the result that we saw in Tahamlet.
No, I mean, Aspire, coming from nowhere, 24 seats. Labour on 19.
Yep.
Conservatives have won, and it's a very active councillor called Peter Gold who actually exposed some of the electoral chaos.
He's
first
still
time
there?
Around. He's still there, so that shows you the strength of a bit of a personal vote. I think he just got over the line.
Yep.
The Greens are on one as well. So, you know, let's be honest, a completely clean sweep pretty much for Aspire there.
Yeah.
It's remarkable. And
yeah.
It's going to, you know, a huge change coming to Tower Hamlets, really. So definitely going to be an interesting one to see how that plays out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when you sort of then review the overall direction of travel, the picture is pretty mixed, actually. I mean, look, no question, a total catastrophe for the Conservative Party across London.
Mm.
You know, with the exception of Harrow and Croydon, overall numbers, the Conservatives now have 401 councillors.
Mm-hmm. Of 1,817.
Exactly.
Yep.
Labour have 1,153, Lib Dems on 177, Greens on 18, and then others, i.e. residence groups and things, are on 59. Now, that number might go up ever so slightly after this, because the other thing that's still going on is a recount in Havering in I think, two wards.
Yep.
Which, no overall control, a lot of independence over in Havering. But clear, so, you know, the Conservative overall number might go up by a couple, but,
yep.
You know, it is nothing else but a complete drubbing for the Conservative Party. There's no other way to spin it.
And look, the flip side of that, I think, is while it was a positive story night for Labour, certainly that Thursday evening into Friday morning, you know, Wandsworth, Westminster and Barnet victories were massive. Some were symbolic, some were, you know, genuine sort of electoral surprises. But now that the dust is starting to settle on those various political earthquakes, not a huge amount has changed. So Labour retain the same number of
overall
councils.
Number, just in different places.
Yeah, exactly. So it's still Labour on 21, the Conservatives there on 6, the Lib Dems controlling 3, Aspire obviously taking Tower Hamlets Council, and then, well, as it stands, no overall control in Havering.
And technically, in terms of number of councillors in Croydon, though, obviously.
Yeah,
because of the mayoralty, effectively, and de facto Conservative control.
Yeah,
but yeah, so it doesn't. Nothing much changes really. And when we looked at the when we were making these predictions and we were looking at where the battlegrounds might be back, you know, a few months ago, and you know, we've been talking to a lot of people around what might happen. We essentially said, well, three things.
Yeah,
we said Labour needed a really good night to win Wandsworth, Barnet, and Westminster.
Mm-hmm.
We said the Conservatives needed a really good night to win Harrow and Croydon.
Yep.
And we said Tower Hamlets would be one to watch.
Yep.
And we didn't think all of those things would be true.
Well,
together.
I think we thought they might be mutually exclusive.
Yeah, exactly. But instead, we've ended up with Labour having unquestionably a good night in terms mm-hmm. of overall number of councillors, taking those flagships, Westminster, Wandsworth, Barnet.
Check.
But we've then also had the Conservatives perform very strongly in Croydon and to take Harrow,
check.
Which, check. So both those things are happening. And then Tower Hamlets has been an interesting one to watch.
It certainly has.
So
check.
We were right. We just didn't think all of those things would be right at the same time.
Yeah, it is. And I think, so looking into those in a little bit more detail, so, you know, we were trying to predict what the big issues were going to be, you know, what sort of campaign issues were they were going to be fighting on in different boroughs and what was going to ultimately have an impact here, whether it was going to be local issues, whether it was going to be national issues. And obviously going into this, Partygate was a big thing, but actually Beergate was starting to rear its head as well. And actually I think we'll touch on that in a bit, just because at time of recording I think we're expecting a statement very shortly. But and I think what we saw was a combination of all those things. So I think if you look at Barnet and Wandsworth, I'm inclined to think that it was national issues and a national swing that delivered those.
I think that's right. I think Barnet probably should have gone to Labour in 2018, but wasn't quite ready because Jeremy Corbyn was leader.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Wandsworth has, as we've mentioned previously on this podcast, it was the only Labour gain in the 2019 election as a parliamentary seat.
Yep.
And I think, you know, it was inevitable that at some point that was going to happen. I think. So yeah, definitely think more national issues playing out in Barnet and Wandsworth.
But then you look at Harrow, you look at Croydon, and you know actually the same is true in Tower Hamlets with Aspire.
Yeah, to an extent. Yeah,
these are local issues. You know, these go against the national swing. They go against the sort of prevailing sentiment that this was going to be Labour's night and this was going to be a bit of a whitewash.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Harrow, the Conservative campaign was quite heavily on the way the council's been managed for some time, and the Conservatives capitalised on clearly residents' views on that and made it all about local issues. I think it'd be wrong to say there aren't some demographic shifts occurring there as well, as we've mentioned before. Croydon, you know, I would say entirely on the local issue. I mean, you can't bankrupt a council and then expect to run on a track record of not doing it. And given that context, actually, for Labour to emerge as the largest party is pretty impressive.
Yeah, well, I think that was an interesting campaign as well, wasn't it? Because there was some tension locally between Labour's mayoral candidate, Val Shawcross, and the Labour administration.
Yeah.
Over, well, particularly interesting for sort of our world, around sort of development and design and...
Yeah, decisions that had been made that were then being criticised.
Exactly.
But so, you know, anyway, that I think local, very much the local issues. And then Aspire was undoubtedly the local context.
Yeah.
You know, I find it really fascinating that the campaign in Tower Hamlets for Aspire was, you know, it wasn't online. It was hardly any...
Completely sort of ground-based, yeah.
Yeah, it was completely on the ground in communities, and it's delivered a pretty unbelievable result.
Yeah.
And then I think if we look at Westminster, it's a mixed picture. The overall number of votes that it would have taken to swing either way in certain wards is pretty low.
How low was it?
I think it was 42, and you work it out. It's somewhere between 42 and 60. I need to do the full numbers.
But that's annoying, isn't it? As people with long track records in like political campaigns, those sort of numbers are frustrating.
Exactly. So then I think you say, well, what were the reasons for that? Well, I think they were local and national. There was undoubtedly a sort of anti-Boris factor, and that is coming through very strongly from sort of core Conservative voters, if you like, who feel that the Conservative Party is going in a direction that is at odds with their sort of idea.
So can I ask you something then? Sorry to interrupt your mid-flow, but...
No, don't worry.
So do you think those voters come back to the Conservatives? Do you think they are inherently Conservative with a small C voters who will return to the Conservatives with a big C when there's a change of leadership, or if there's a change of leadership?
I don't know. I think I'm going to give you a bit of a wish-washy answer in a way, because I think it depends where... If you're asking whether nationally their vote comes back to the Conservatives, I don't know. I think it depends how at home they feel in other parties.
Yep.
My instinct says yes. In certain cases, the natural Conservative voters, in some cases, and they stayed at home or voted for Labour because they don't like the current Conservative Party, and I completely understand that. However, in certain parts of Westminster... voters have consistently voted Labour in a general election for Carrick.
Yeah, Westminster North.
Yeah, Westminster North. And voted Conservative locally. So, you know, I think it is more nuanced. It depends where you are. And I think this is why we say it's both local and national, is that you've got... So on the one hand, you've got the whole Boris factor, and you've got the whole... the Conservative Party is going in a direction we don't like and we can't support it at the moment.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, the Conservatives sort of slightly hamstrung themselves in a way by... not being able to run on that traditional track record of competence and you know, spending your money wisely, and therefore we have the lowest council tax in in the country, because immediately and not unfairly the Labour Party would say, well, what about the Marble Arch Mound?
Well, and that was the Labour script right on the doorstep.
Yeah, so it was, you know, okay, yeah, I understand you think the Conservatives run a good local council, but have you seen this big visible disaster? And if you're asking me whether that was worth the small number of votes that it took,
yeah, 50 votes, yeah, of course.
I think undoubtedly. So I think that local and national context saw Labour win in Westminster for sure. And you know, Labour ran a really energetic campaign.
Yeah.
It was well thought out, campaigning in all the right places, seemingly.
Yeah.
And have put forward a new vision for the city, which is now going to be tested. And I think we'll see what happens, but unquestionably, yeah, a combination of local and national, and a hugely decisive. But for me, that is Labour's biggest success of the night, because it's such a visible presence of a borough that's never been in any yep. other control.
Yeah.
And it was convincing. So, I mean, I think with all of these results, so we've got a bit of a mixed picture in terms of the reasons why people have voted. No doubt, bad night for the Conservatives, pretty good night for Labour, mm-hmm. some local issues sort of disrupting that along the way.
Yep.
You know, because Conservatives made gains in some places like Enfield as well.
Yep.
You know, so there's little isolated pockets. Lib Dems had a reasonable night, I think.
Yeah, they took seats across quite a few London boroughs, including, I think they took 11 in Merton, and one of those seats was the Labour council leader, Mark Allison, who
yeah.
lost his seat in a really surprise sort of result for the Lib Dems there. I think, you know, they'd obviously worked very hard. They are very good at campaigning locally on very local issues, the Lib Dems, in my experience.
Yeah.
And often the campaign work can almost fly under the radar, in my experience, working for the Labour Party, that you almost don't notice, you know, what they're campaigning on, but they can turn out vote on yeah, very localised issues.
Yeah, and yeah, if you look at Richmond, I think the Conservatives lost 10 all to the Lib Dems.
Yep.
So it just further solidifies that sort of southwest belt.
Yep.
I think the Conservatives gained 2 in Sutton, but still firmly in Lib Dem control. But so Lib Dems, you know, 177 councillors, I think, now across the whole of London, which mm-hmm. is up just over 20 yep. On 2018. The Greens, 18, which, you know, I think I would have thought that they would have hoped to have performed a little bit more strongly than that.
I think the difficulty for the Greens is that you know, the nature of our elections and the first-past-the-post system means that you need a sufficiently concentrated vote in areas to get someone elected. And
yep.
often Green votes are either protest votes or they are split ticket votes, where someone will vote, you know, Labour
yeah.
and Green or Lib Dem and Green. And so it is much harder, I think, when you're a smaller party, particularly in areas where it is seen as a two-horse race, as it is in much of London, either between Labour and the Conservatives or Labour and the Lib Dems or the Tories and the Lib Dems. It's hard for the Greens to break through and make those gains.
Yeah, though, I mean, in fairness, although they had a setback in Lambeth, falling, I think, 5 seats to 2,
yep.
they did boost their presence in Islington. They won seats in Newham, Croydon and Tower Hamlets for the first time as well. So, you know, it's not all doom and gloom for them. And clearly people are looking for an alternative. And then others are on 59 across the whole capital, which, you know, is a lot of residence groups. Lots of them in Havering, actually.
Yep.
So that's the overall result. And it's now we've got the whole picture. It's probably as complex and as unclear in many ways as people's views towards voting generally are at the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, it is
it's reflective of the chaos.
It's a weird old time. And, you know, as Luke said earlier, at the time of recording, I think we're expecting Keir Starmer to make a statement on allegations of Beergate or what have you, which, mm-hmm. you know, says basically I think he'll leave or he'll resign in the event that Durham police find him, which puts an awful lot of pressure on the Prime Minister and another national dimension to
yep.
to play out. But in terms of locally, what's next? Well, AGMs over the next few weeks. Some have moved quite quickly. Leaders will be confirmed, you know, in post. New appointments to cabinet positions and committee roles. So this is really where the exciting bit happens in terms of the day-to-day management changes.
Yep.
And I think we can expect significant changes to lots of the characters in these roles as leaders look to renew and refresh their top teams, as well as some administrations getting set up for the first time.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, you know, Wandsworth and Westminster, both going to have new Labour administrations for the first time. There will clearly be a period of adjustment. And, you know, really, I think all seem fairly focused on cracking on with implementing the manifesto commitments. And I think, you know, what we'll seek to do now with the podcast is essentially get some of these new characters on to come and talk to us and come and explain their vision and explain what it means, not in election terms, but in terms of the day-to-day management of these councils, because there's big challenges facing the city, unquestionably.
Yep, absolutely.
And the public have put their faith in these new characters to take us forward. So, hopefully we'll be able to get some interesting guests on to come and talk about their vision, their changes, and see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, we've got I think one in three seats in London changed hands.
Really, as many as that?
Yeah, and the churn of sort of new councillors coming in, first-time councillors, is at about 40%. So you've got, you know, a sea of new faces, many of whom are going to find themselves in, you know, administrations for the first time, in cabinet posts or on committees. And so, as you say, we're going to try and get some people to come on the podcast over the next few weeks to chat about, you know, their visions for these areas that they are newly in charge of, what they want to achieve during their time in office, and what sort of changes we can expect over the coming months and years.
Absolutely. But for now, from election 2022, all the results are in, and we'll see you again in 4 years to talk about those ones.
We're going to go and have a beer now.
Yeah, time for a pint. Bye.
Bye.